Welcome to this week's episode of Toss Salad and Scrambled Eggs. I am your host, the Archduke of Titty Breasts, Trent. Yeah, that's me. That's my latest moniker, my latest title. Hope you like that one. Welcome to this week's episode. I hope you're having a good week or a good day, whatever you're listening to this. Unlike last episode, I have already cooked my food for the week, so there won't be any random beepings in the middle of recordings and stuff. This is the kind of stuff that happens when you're recording at home, and all kind of stuff going on. They're doing construction on my building, so even though it's getting closer to the evening time, so where they should be cutting this shit off and going home, they're still at it. So, you know, he might get a little random background noise, but, you know, not as bad as last time. So, anyways, so let's get right into it. So, what are we talking about this week here exactly? You know, if you've listened to this podcast long enough, or even if this is your first time listening and you follow me on social media, or you just know me in real life, you know, for the most part, if you've actually had some in-depth conversations with me, you know that I am an advocate for sex and sexuality. You know I'm big on, yo, let's get them cheeks clapping. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, as much as we talk about sex and sexuality in general and society, all up and through the media, and as much as I may mention it here on this podcast, what we don't always talk about is not having sex. And I know for some people, you hear that and somebody says, yeah, I'm trying not to have sex, or hey, I'm abstinent, or I'm celibate, or whatever. And for people who enjoy sex, love having sex, the first reaction usually is somewhere in the neighborhood of, you trying to not do what? Ooh, you better go on somewhere with that. I don't believe in that. You know, you get them kind of reactions of, are you out of your mind? That is how you keep saying and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, whatever you believe as far as the importance of sex. But the fact is, there are people in existence who do not give a shit about sex or having sex with anybody or having sexual desires towards anyone. These people are asexual. I have not done my research yet, as I have said I wanted to. At some point in time, I'm going to sit down in somebody's computer, probably mine, because I don't give a damn, because I've probably typed in worse things, and I'm going to type in asexual, and we're going to see what happens. See what research articles have been found, what information is out there and known, because for me, it's such a perplexing thing to hear about asexual people, because, you know, I've always been taught and brought up in the thought pattern that sexuality and sex is, and sexual desire is, a natural instinct, that it's something that we're all born with, and it's gonna come one way or the other, and you're gonna eventually end up having sex. No, there are some people who genuinely have no interest in sex, and as crazy as it may sound to some people, it is what it is. And then taking asexual people out of the equation, you sometimes have people who, for what one reason or another, have decided they do not want to engage in sex for a select time period, or until a certain qualification has occurred, or something like that. We're going to get into that as well. You know, that's where we're talking about two words that I've already said in this podcast: celibacy and abstinence. Now, these are two completely separate things. My only beef is that when I tried to look up the definition of what separates one from the other, really the answers I got were kind of bullshitty. Only real difference that I heard or read basically was that celibacy is more so linked towards religious situations, where people are, you know, you got priests who take a vow of celibacy because, you know, if you're dealing in Christianity and you have a priest, that priest is usually, at least traditionally, celibate. They're not having sex with anybody ever because that's the vow they're making to God to serve his people. Versus abstinence just being a set amount of time, or not necessarily a set amount of time, but a certain amount of time a person decides to not engage in sexual activity. But these words are used interchangeably. If you've lived long enough, you've heard people use them interchangeably. One is different from the other, but, you know, only difference I've read and feel like, okay, this is a distinct difference, is that the celibacy is more linked towards religious and possibly cultural aspects of deciding not to have sex under certain circumstances, versus abstinence being a set amount of time that you're saying, you know what, for this time period, I'm not going to engage in sexual activity. It's not a forever thing. It's just a certain amount of time. And then that's not even throwing in that just covers the self-imposed abstinence. We haven't even talked about the, oh, you just haven't come across anybody you want to have sex with. So really you're not having sex because you ain't come across nobody you want to have sex with. Not because you've given up sex, but and that may go for months, even years, depending on who you are and your situation. But anywho, that's as far as the differences between celibacy and abstinence. That's about all I got for you. And of course, here comes a siren, because that's the thing to do during when I'm trying to record a podcast, you know. Anywho, so then we have the if we're going to talk about abstinence and not having sex and virginity, you got to throw in virginity. Virginity is a human-made construct, essentially. It's this concept of, oh, it's you, the first time you have sex, it should be a precious thing. But it's not sold that way to everyone, honestly. And it's sold in a general sense to everybody like that. But then when you break it down to male and female, it's broken down and it's separated into two different narratives. So starting off from the general, you get this whole thing of, if we're just talking from the religious aspect, you have that situation where people are like, hey, you know, you should wait until you get married to have sex, because if you don't, you're going to hell, because that's what our religion says, that sexual immorality is bad and you're going to go to hell if you have sex outside of marriage, so don't do it. And that's all you get. And that's, I think, getting older, that's the thing that really threw me off of that. But we're going to come back to that shortly. Going back to what I was saying previously about how it's so different to women than it is to men. You see, with men, it's the whole virginity thing. If we're going to be honest, if we're going to have a real honest conversation about it, at least from my life experience, for boys, on average, it's that the story that's sold about virginity is, my nigga, you need to get rid of that shit ASAP. You need to, as soon as you can fuck, you need to go fuck. As soon as you get an opportunity to fuck some girl, you need to fuck. You need to go ahead and get that first one out of the way so you can start on your fucking spree. So you can just start sowing your oats and shit, as the old folks used to say. That just, it's something to get done ASAP and get it over with. It's not usually something you just should be waiting on. At least that's what are often told to boys from other men. With girls, on the other hand, it's all, hold on to it as long as you can, or save it for somebody special, or that narrative of wait till marriage is pushed even harder on a woman, like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do because a woman who's having sex outside of marriage is a slut, is a hoe, we're going into slut shame territory, essentially. That, oh, it's okay for a guy to go out and fuck all willy nilly, but for a woman, oh no, you shouldn't be having sex. You should conserve it and wait and make it special and all that. Okay, whatever, cool, great, I guess, if that's what you want to do. But yeah, virginity is a construct. It's something that's kind of been created by just society in general, and then of course religion, to say, oh, you know, this is something special and you should wait until you find somebody you're in love with to lose your virginity. And let me tell y'all something right now. I talk a lot of tomfoolery and I make a lot of jokes about a lot of shit, But let me be real frank with y'all for a quick second. Let me be real with y'all, at least from my perspective. I don't agree with that shit. Not in the slightest. No part of what I just said do I agree with. I don't agree with none of that shit. Because I consider myself to be a Christian, but I wouldn't say I'm just the most going to church every day, you know, read the Bible every day kind of Christian. I'm not going to pretend that's the kind of Christian I am, because I'm not. Nah, not in the slightest. You know, as coming up in a Catholic church, all the information you get is don't have sex outside of marriage or you're going to hell. And well, if you are brought up in any kind of church that's main path is Christianity, that's what you're going to get a lot of. You're going to get told about a lot of things that can get you sent to hell, you know. A lot of, you know, you got your mega sins. That's not what they're called. They're not even called mega sins. They're called the seven deadly sins. You got, you know, the really just big stuff that you're not supposed to do. You got the Ten Commandments. You got these different things that you're not supposed to do, or you risk eternal damnation. And sexual immorality is one of them. And I'm just like, that's all the information you get from the church. They're not going to talk about sexuality in most cases. At most, they're going to tell you, don't have sex outside of marriage or you're going to hell. That's all the information you get. Or for the bonus round, depending on how old your church is, you may even get the old school, hey, if you masturbate, you're going to go blind, or you're going to break your shit, or, you know, all the crazy myths and stuff about things that'll happen if you masturbate. And none of it's true. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit to control you, to tell you what you can and cannot do, when it's like, it's your body, it's your life, you should be able to do within reason and being safe. You should do whatever the fuck you want, quite frankly. And I feel like things work out better for you if you do things in the sense of, I'm doing what I want to do. Because living your life controlled by fear, that's no way to live your life. And, you know, I wish somebody had sat me down and said, hey, and told me all the stuff that I just said, that virginity is a construct and saving it for somebody special. And I mean, you can do that if you want to, but honestly, do it when you feel comfortable and ready to do it. Like 100, you feel it deep within you that, hey, I think I'm ready to experience this. Let's go for it. You know, it's not to say that's going to guarantee that it's going to go well for you. But at least I feel like you'll be in the best position to continue on this path of exploring your sexuality, because at least from my perspective, and from my life, you know, I tried that whole path. I tried the whole path of waiting for somebody special and all that stuff. And, you know, the fucked up thing is, I did, and it turned out that person wasn't all that special. And so now you've waited, you've done all this waiting and waiting for somebody special, and now you're just kind of lost, you're kind of just dragged in the middle of the wilderness, confused, like, so I did all this waiting, now what? I've done it, now what? You know what I mean? Like, because sexuality is hidden behind this taboo wall of, we don't want to talk about it. Shh, you're not supposed to talk about that in public, or that's not something decent people discuss. Because it wasn't really that big of a discussion and out in the open to be explored, I had to figure shit out on my own. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody's child or the next generations coming up in any way, shape, or form. I hope that as many of them as possible have somebody to actually just openly talk to them about sex and make it something accessible, easy to understand, and just calm and relaxing. It shouldn't be something anxiety provoking, which is the other part of this episode, but we're going to get to that later. But yeah, it's just that religion, all they're going to throw at you is wait until marriage or you're going to hell. And I really talk about the feelings that you get when your hormones are going apeshit as a teenager or a preteen, and you're interacting with the opposite sex, or if you're not into the opposite sex, the same sex, whoever you're attracted to, you're interacting with these people on a regular basis, and you have no other guide other than, if I have sex with this person, I'm going to go to hell, so what do I do, even though I'm horny as shit and I want to fuck them anyways. Like, that is, it's so confusing. So, anywho, you know, that's the crazy thing about that whole double standard thing, that boys are told to get rid of it as soon as possible, and girls are told, hold on to that as long as you possibly can, because it's precious. It's so crazy. So crazy. And so, when I was working on this episode, I was like, what am I going to call this shit? What am I going to call this shit? Because you have these situations in life where we're not talking about people who are waiting till marriage and that's what they're sticking with, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's your business. But you have the people who are abstinent for X amount of time for whatever reasons, you know. Maybe this person has decided to be abstinent because they're coming off the back end of a hoe stroll. Now, what's a hoe stroll? A hoe stroll, to me, is when you've had a period in life where you've decided, hey, I'm going to fuck whoever the fuck I want. I am single. I am free. I'm going to do, if I want to have sex with somebody, whether it's after a date, before a date, no date involved, I just want to fuck this person, I'm going to fuck this person, that person, whoever, and I'm not responsible to anybody. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to fuck whoever I want. I'm going to have sex with whoever I please. I'm not looking for anything serious. I'm just trying to fuck. And, you know, you might be coming off the back end of a whole show where you're good on that. You don't really want to do that anymore. That's cool. You might decide to stop having sex then. You might just be coming out of a bad situation, a bad situationship, a bad relationship, just a rough patch in life. And you just decide then and there, hey, I want to focus on other things, so I'm going to take sex out of the equation. Cool, great, wonderful. That is your option if you want to do that. Because there's not to say there isn't some form of clarity that you get when you're not thinking about sex. But the fact of the matter is, even if you decide out loud and within yourself that, hey, I'm going to go this time period without having sex, if you actually enjoy sex, I got to tell you, this isn't going to be an easy path for you. This isn't going to just be like, okay, I've decided to not have sex anymore, and then you just flip a switch and boom, you don't think about sex anymore. That's not how it works at all. At all. Let me just make sure you're very clear on that. That is not how that shit works. Here's what's gonna happen, most nearly. You're gonna say, hey, I'm good on sex. I'm not really trying to push for that agenda. And you'll be like, all right, cool. I'm not doing this. Then you're gonna, you know, come across different people that you're attracted to. Whether these are people you already know or new, brand new people altogether, and you'll be like, oh shit, look at this motherfucker here. Okay, that whole no sex thing, I don't know about that one. And you're gonna get all off track. And then you got, that's just part of the iceberg. Then you got TV and movies and video games and all kinds of other shit. And the internet and the Twitters, my nigga. The Twitters, where everywhere you turn, whether you're watching a movie, watching certain TV shows, whether you're just on the internet trying to socialize and shit, sex is everywhere. Sex is every fucking where. It reminds me of this little experiment me and my old roommates, shout out to Eric, shout out to O'Reilly, shout out to Bryson. This little experiment me, Eric, and O'Reilly did where... And this was my idea. This was definitely my idea. I was like, all right, I want to try something. I just want to see something for myself. All right, so the three of us are not going, we are going to forcibly not think about sex. Go as long as we can through this day without thinking about sex. That if something is going to make us think about sex, we have to remove ourselves from that situation, period, point blank, and see how far we can get before we just have to give up the ghost. So we started that morning when we woke up, got on the shuttle bus, and, you know, in the apartments that we were living in at the time connected to campus, because we went to U of H, we went to University of Houston. The shuttle bus that picked us up to take us to the main campus, the apartments we lived in also housed the white sororities. If anybody knows anything about me, for the most part, with a few rare exceptions, everybody know I'm not necessarily romantically or sexually attracted to the majority of white women. It does nothing for me. The white women do nothing for me. Any white woman that hears this in the future, sorry, it's just the truth. I am attracted to what I'm attracted to, and it's usually black women. That's just it. Some other brown people may get up in there too, but for the most part, it's black women. Different varieties of black women. So getting on the shuttle bus in the morning for my black ass, no big deal. No big deal at all. For one of my other roommates, he found white women attractive. Not saying that was his absolute preference, but he found some attractive white women more so than me. And so we get on the shuttle bus, and of course some girls get on some booty shorts and something like that. And he was like, yeah, I need to get off the shuttle bus. I was like, you need to walk to campus? He's like, I need to walk there in campus. I was like, alright, cool. So I walked with him to campus because I was like, alright, I feel you. So we walked to campus, and of course shuttle buses are still letting off. We get to the main campus, and all of a sudden from different parts of campus, all these different women get off the bus, like black women, white women, Hispanic women. Just, it was some fine specimens on that damn shuttle bus, let me tell you, that was getting off that shuttle bus. So we got to campus, we all went all separate ways because they were engineering majors, and I was at that time I was a biology major. So I was like, yeah, I need to go this way because, oh no, she fine, okay, I gotta go. So head to class, you know, I sit in the back, away from everybody, chilling, trying to learn something. I sat in the back. I shouldn't have sat in the back. That was a bad idea. But anyways, focused on class. Class was fine. About to get on the shuttle bus to go home. And fine-ass black women on the bus. Can't ride the bus. So anyways, long story short, we made it to about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock that night. I think Carlito's Way was on cable. And that was pretty much the end of it. We all fucked up. That was the end of that. It's impossible. Sex is everywhere. So I decided for this episode is titled, if I did put this, so you've decided against clapping cheeks. What now? Something along the lines of, so you decided against clapping cheeks, standing ovations, and mealtime. What now? So it's a question of, okay, if you've decided to be abstinent for a time period, if you are trying to avoid sex and not get tempted and, you know, fall into temptation and all that good stuff, what do you need to be doing, or what shouldn't you be doing in order for this to work? So that's what I want to talk about, because I remember I had a friend who was trying to do this. They said they didn't want to have sex anymore. And for a time period, I was like, yeah, there's some things I feel like you have to just avoid if you are, or some things, some do's and do nots, if you're really genuinely trying not to have sex and you enjoy sex and you feel that certain things may tempt you into having sex. You know, you're supposed to be master of your domain and king or queen of your castle. That's an old Seinfeld reference. If you don't know where what episode that's from, go watch that episode. It's the funniest fucking episode ever. But I wrote down some rules. I didn't actually find the original rule set. It's on my old laptop, so I'll have to go dig for it someday. But I vaguely remember what those rules were. The different things you should and should not be doing if you are indeed trying not to have sex. Because I feel like a lot of times when people are trying to be abstinent and avoid sex, they end up putting themselves in situations that pretty much fuck them up. That pretty much decide their fate and they end up having sex. So I have some like guidelines, if you will, of things you should or should not be doing and kind of an explanation of those things. So let's just get right into it. Guideline one, avoid private homes and meeting with people you are attracted to alone. So I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. Do not go to people's houses like, hey, why don't you come on over? No, the fuck I won't. No. Or, hey, you should come through, you know, just swing by. We can just watch a little movie, you know, let's kick it. No. This is my unwashed ass opinion. And so, you know, feel free to disagree. But especially being 32 at this point, and I mean, you know, I'm in a relationship and everything, but I remember what it was like to be single. And I'm like, even being in a relationship, it still applies that if I'm in the same room with somebody I'm attracted to, how long do you think we're going to be together before some shit probably pops off? Like, if just thinking back to when I was single, that's just it. If you are in the room or in a room or in a place somewhere alone with somebody, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be your apartment or your house or your home or whatever, you could be out and about and still be quote unquote alone. Like, you know, alone in a car with somebody, alone together at the movie theaters, you know, it's nice and dark and shit. That's another aspect we're gonna come into. But yeah, all these different scenarios of being alone with somebody you're attracted to. If you're attracted to this person, they're attracted to you, and y'all are both sexual beings, like established sexual beings, that sexual tension is going to be sitting there. And it's like, it don't just magically go away because you say, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do and I'm not. No. It's not going to go away. It's just going to sit there. You're going to say that it's not there, but it's sitting in the corner looking at you like a dumbass. Like, oh, so you thought my dumbass was away because you said that there's no sexual tension here? All right, let's see. So then, you know, if you're alone with this person for too long, shit is liable to just pop off. I'm speaking from experience from years ago when I've tried this whole scenario of, oh, me and this person I'm attracted to are going to be alone and everything's going to be fine. Oh, no, the fuck it won't. No. It's not to say that self-control plays no part in it. It definitely does. But there's also the fact of just not putting yourself in that situation, which is a further down guideline. But yeah, just avoiding going over to people's apartments and cribs, wherever they stand, going to them or them coming to you and y'all are all alone. Avoid those situations. Don't do it. Just don't do it to yourself, because you're literally setting your own fate into motion. Like, it's not to say you're guaranteed to have something pop off, but you're not helping yourself. You're definitely not helping yourself. Guideline two, no dark places. So I literally just said that as I was going through guideline one, going to the movies, movie theaters, clubs and lounges, places where it has dark, no light or dim lighting. You want to avoid these places because anybody knows dim lighting, anywhere from dim lighting to absolute pitch dark, is literally mood setting light, or lack thereof. That lack thereof light is mood setting. Because think about it. Think about it. Just roll with me on this one. Movie theaters. If y'all are bored at any point in the movie and y'all are attracted to each other, it's a pretty decent chance y'all gonna start making out. And depending on how bold y'all are and how many people are in that goddamn theater, y'all might try to pull some shit. People have definitely fucked in movie theaters. Like, if you get a black... Well, probably not now, because they probably have to do a deep cleaning due to this whole COVID-19 shit. But, probably just before all this craziness happened, if you went through a movie theater with a black light, I guarantee you there would be material somewhere in that goddamn theater, because people definitely have fucked in movie theaters. People have, you know, sat on each other's laps in the movie theaters. People have sucked some mean dick in the movie theaters. People have eaten some mean pussy at the movie theaters. How would I know? Just know that I know. And if you know, you know. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Shout out to Pusha T. You know, if you know, you know. Like, people be fucking at the movie theaters. Because it's nice and dark. Can't nobody really see what y'all doing. You know, people get nasty when lights go off. And that the reason I put clubs and lounges under this is, if you've ever been to a club or party, whether you still go to parties now or if you used to go to them back in the day, everybody who is anybody knows when the lights went down, that's when everybody's inhibitions went down and people started. That's when you got the ultra twerks. That's when you got the slow wines. That's when you got all everybody wilding out, because suddenly that lack of light just gets everybody going ape shit. And as soon as they wanted the party to end, or it was the time for everybody to get the fuck out, lights would be cut on. Lights would be cut on, and suddenly everybody starts acting right all of a sudden. Or if you've ever been to a party and it really wasn't popping off yet and the lights were fully on, as soon as somebody dimmed the lights, shit got popping. So it's the, basically, that's just a confirmation of what I just said. Anywhere from dim lighting to no lighting is not your friend if you're trying to avoid sexual situations. Don't do it to yourself. Do not be alone with these people in dark places. Bad idea, terrible idea, don't do it. The next guideline, essentially what I've been talking about this whole time, essentially, know yourself. You know, people lie to other people every single day for legit reasons, for not so legit reasons. People lie to people every day about all kinds of shit. But the person you should, you yourself should not be lying to, or shouldn't be lying to often, is you. You should not be lying to yourself very often. Because that also can lead you to many dangerous places for so many reasons. But in particular, for this episode of avoiding sex, if you want to sit up here and try to lie to yourself about knowing yourself, you're gonna mess up and you're gonna fail. And here's why. You know, when I say know yourself, it's knowing your level of self-discipline and not trying to challenge yourself by pressing boundaries. What does that mean? It means exactly what the hell I've already said multiple times in this segment. Staying away from people you know there's sexual tension present. Like, some people, when they're abstinent, they try to do this thing where they decide, hey, or even when they're not necessarily being abstinent, when they so-called made a decision to not have sex with a particular person, they'll still put themselves in situations that they were doomed to fail in the first place. That they're like, oh, you know, I'm not an animal. I have self-control. I have self-discipline. I can hang out with this person and not have sex with them. Sure, you can. You can do anything you want. I can go on top of this building and jump off. Doesn't mean it's a brilliant idea. If I jump off this building, I'm probably going to break something, if not break everything, and possibly kill myself. Not on purpose. It would just be a stupid-ass decision. Just like going into trying to be alone with somebody you have stupid sexual tension with and think you're going to make it out unscathed. That's usually not how that shit works, to be honest. I'll give you a perfect example of that. I remember a couple of years ago, there was somebody I was basically on and off dating. And, you know, we were kicking it. We had kind of decided we weren't going to be, you know, fucking around on that level, that we were not going to engage in sexual intercourse. Some things had already happened previously, but we decided we were not, that no penetration was going to be happening between us. And so one evening, me and this person decided to watch a movie. And, you know, y'all know how that goes. I mean, Netflix and chill and all that good stuff. That wasn't even what the intention. That was not my intention. But we went over and I went over and we were watching the movie. Everything was fine. And then at some point it wasn't. Like, we were watching the movie one moment, next moment we're making out, clothes coming off, titties going in mouths, fingers going in vagina. You know what I'm saying? Shit is happening. And it's getting to a point. It's getting real hot in the room. It's getting real heavy in the room. And it got to a point where I was literally standing in front of this person and looking down at them. They were sitting on the couch and I was standing in front of them and I was looking down at them. They were like, they looked at me and they said to me, and I quote, okay, I need to say this because I need this to be clear. If you don't leave in the next 5 to 10 minutes, we're gonna have sex. I'm not telling you to say, you know, I'm forcing you into this, that this is something you absolutely have to do. But I'm telling you right now, based on what has just happened and how I'm feeling right now and how I believe you're feeling right now, if you are here, if you are still in my apartment in the next 5 to 10 minutes, we're going to have sex. I just want to make sure you're aware. So if you're okay with us having sex, you can stay. But if you're not okay with us having sex, you need to go. Now. And they weren't being rude about it. They were just being honest. I put my shoes on. I put my clothes back on. I put my shoes on and I left. That's not necessarily what I wanted to do in full honesty, but I knew what I said I wanted to do. I said that me and this person were not to have sex. And the only way I was going to stay true to that was if I left. And so I did. It was a wild ass time. The point is, you have to know yourself and know your limits. So yeah, there's that. Next guideline. No mental state altering substances around people you're attracted to. So notice all these things are, you know, prefaced with people you're attracted to. Because, I mean, I feel like that's where it really is. That's where your challenge is going to come in. That's where the temptation is going to come in most. Because if you're in a room full of people and you're not attracted to any of them, what are the chances you're going to do anything sexual? Pretty low, if at all. Because if you're not attracted to any of these people, why? Your brain isn't going to even go to arousal. You're not even going to get to the point of, oh, I'm a little horny. Something might need to happen here. Like, you're just going to be like, okay, cool. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, that's not even going to be on your mind. But yeah, when I say no mental state altering substances, basically no drinking or smoking weed or getting high of in any way, shape, or form around people you're attracted to. Because, again, I can only speak for me, but when I start drinking and when I start getting high, I get horny. Like, in most cases, in most scenarios, I'm going to get horny. And if I'm around somebody I'm attracted to, if it's my girl, you know, that's a whole nother episode altogether. The point is, if you're around somebody you're attracted to, relationship or not, you know, you are gonna, that's a bad place to be. If you're supposedly not supposed to be having sex with anybody, you're gonna put yourself in a real bad positioning, because drinking and smoking, but I believe getting high as well, lowers your inhibitions. Like, you feel freer. You want to do some shit and your filters are off. Like, the things that would normally be on, like, hey, I need to chill out, calm the fuck down. Yeah, I may be horny, but chill out. Those things are lifted. Now it's like, I'm horny. Let's fix this. You know what I mean? Let's get some shit popping if we can, you know? And I say this because the sheer number of stories I've heard over the years, either heard directly from friends or seen via social media, is baffling. It's baffling. Like, it's the fact. It's the facts. When you are not of your full right mind, shit can pop off a little bit easier. It just can, because you're not fully, just your whole brain isn't working fully. Your whole brain isn't working. So you might make some decisions you wouldn't normally do in normal circumstances, you know? You're not 100% in control of your facilities while high and or drunk. So it's just a bad situation to put yourself in. This brings me to another guideline, which I personally think is helpful. I would believe it's very helpful. And that would be masturbate and then make decisions around being around certain folk while you're in that post-nut clarity. Now, I know some people will be like, post-nut clarity? You wild, and Trent. Trent, you are really wild today talking about some post-nut clarity. For anybody who has thought about going to fucking ex or fuck around with somebody they have no business fucking around with, and then masturbated and then been like, nah, I'm good, I don't even want to go. Like, you know where I'm talking about. That really, sometimes you're just horny and you just need to take care of it. Plain and simple, yeah, you do need to take care of it. Take care of it by yourself. Masturbate, you know, finger women, finger yourself, flick the bean. Men, you know, go ahead and churn that butter, jack off a little bit and get that nut off. And then think about, do you want to go over to this person's place? Do you want to still go and have sex with this person? You might find that your mind has changed, because your mind is not being led by your dick, or your mind isn't being led by your pussy. You are that post-nut clarity you have after you've had an orgasm will tell you whether you still need to go, still want to go do this or not. Something I recommend, I mean, go ahead. I'm not the creator of that. It's just a really good idea. You're welcome. And last but not least, just basically what I've been saying from jump over and over, do not put yourself in situations with no option and no way out. So, you know, I said I'm a Christian, and one of the things that always ends up in different sermons is, you know, that God will never put you in a situation that you have no exit from. And the thing is, whenever I think about stuff, even if you're going to use that information from the Bible, you always have to combine stuff from the Bible with real world application. And the thing is, while God won't put you in any situation that there are no exits to, human beings have free will, and human beings will put themselves in situations that don't actively have exits, or have exits but exits that are hard to reach, that are hard to get to when all the blood is rushing to your penis, or your pussy is telling you, oh, I should go, but I don't really want to fully, so we're not gonna. Don't put yourself in situations you can't get out of. Like, don't go over to that person's crib that you've fucked in the past before, or you have high designs on fucking, and go over there and then be like, oh, I can't, there's no way out of this. Yeah, there was a way out of it by not going, but you bypassed that and went straight over. So now you don't have an exit. So don't put yourself in situations that you can't get out of. Just don't do it. Don't punish yourself like that. But yeah, that's all I got for this segment of the episode. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about performance, sexual performance anxiety. Yeah, we're going to talk about something a little uncomfortable. It's a little weird, a little out of the topic. You are listening to Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. And we're back. This week's episode titled, So You Decided Against Clapping Cheeks, What Now? So in the previous segment, that's pretty much what I talked about, like, difference between celibacy and abstinence and double standards in regards to virginity and saving it and not having sex, and some guidelines on what to do if you've decided you don't want to have sex, but you feel you might be tempted. Had a good time with that. But now we're going to talk about a topic that, you know, I really don't think, as far as I've heard for podcasts that talk about relationship things and sexuality, I feel like although I'm sure there's a podcast that has addressed this that I just haven't come across yet, you don't hear many talking about sexual performance anxiety. Now, what exactly are we talking about here? I think that's something that is a very uncomfortable topic, because one, we're talking about anxiety of any kind. Now, anxiety in and of itself is a difficult topic, but in this particular case, we're talking about sexual performance anxiety. And this is more so on the part of men than women, because while women do play a part in heterosexual or bisexual or lesbian sex, you know, a woman, and of course a woman does need to be properly lubricated so that sex is the most pleasurable it can be for her. The thing is, a woman, there's lubricants and stuff to get a woman wet or to help with lubrication if that's the issue. A man not getting fully erect, or a man not being able to get erect or be erect for long, basically erectile dysfunction of some sort, whether it's temporary or more long term, that's a problem, because without a fully erect penis or a fully erect penis for a long period of time, you're not going to be able to have penetrative sex. You're not going to be able to penetrate the woman and engage in sexual intercourse for very long. You need a hard erect penis to do that. And, you know, one of the things that can cause a penis to not be fully erect for what needs to go down is anxiety. Like, and when I say anxiety, it could be that just the man, it could be a biological thing, but it also could be that that man is nervous. You know, there's this non-discussion of sex as a whole, but if we talk about, if we're not talking about sex openly and honestly, we're also not talking about that anxiety. We're not talking about that anxiety whatsoever. That non-discussion of sex culturally, societally, and familiar in within families doesn't help this when the time comes, because since we're not talking about sex anyways, you're not going to talk about those situations. You're not going to be able to talk about those situations where you might be nervous about having sex with somebody, or you're really nervous about, you know, being able to quote unquote last long enough to satisfy somebody. There's not really a class on how to do those things, or a lot of things. Like, although I do believe there are now classes that there are people teaching women how to ride dick and, you know, how to position themselves for different things, and there are different pieces of sex furniture, couches and little, I don't want to say pillows, but like different furniture accessories to make arching and position things differently. And of course, we can't, if we're going to talk about performance anxiety and erectile dysfunction, you got to talk about Viagra. Of course, these things are available, but it's like, what if the situation isn't a biological thing, that it's more so based in a mental block or just general anxiety around sex? Because of course, if we're not talking about this stuff, you're not, the only time you're going to learn about, you know, how to stroke and how to control yourself and how to really get in touch with your body and what you got to do to be able to satisfy, if you're not talking about these things, the only way you find out is by having sex. But if you're so nervous and so amped up and so anxiety filled, you're probably not, you may not be able to even get it up. And if you can get it up, it may not be for a long period of time. It might be for a couple of minutes. It might be for a few seconds. Or you might get within the vagina and you've made it in and things are great, but because you're so focused on the wrong thing, boom, bow, boom, you've busted a nut and it's over. And yeah, that's no fun. But, you know, and so, you know, sometimes when we're talking about this inability to get it up, as they say, sometimes it's a biological reason. You have trash diets. If you are eating, you know, if you're constantly eating, and I'm going to go through some of my favorite things, but these are not necessarily things I'm eating on a regular basis, and hopefully I don't make myself crave these things, but here we go. If you're sitting at home eating Cheeto Puffs every day, and you don't even drink water, you drinking soda with every single thing you do, and even outside of things you do, you're only drinking soda and juice, and, you know, like, perfect example, I don't, you know, hopefully my current supervisor never hears this episode. Hopefully they'll never hear this podcast, because I'm never going to tell them about it, because hell no, I don't want coworkers listening to this podcast. But for, like, perfect example, my supervisor, a number of times since I started this job, I've seen my supervisor. She's a woman, so I mean, I, you know, just the same, the diet can make a difference. Numerous times where I've seen people go to the water thing that we have and fill up their jugs full of water and drink it. No, she fills her thing up with ice and pops out a Big Red. Like, that's what she pops. She pops out a Big Red and fills it to the top of her cup and goes on about her day. Almost every day. Like, bruh. Like, I'm telling you, as a man, if you don't drink your water, woo, that's gonna fuck up your body. And when it fucks up your body, it's also gonna fuck up your dick and the things you want your dick to do. So drink your goddamn water. Minimum 8 cups, probably more than that should be the minimum, but if you want to start, have a baseline to start off with, 8 cups a day. 8 motherfucking cups a day. That's hard to do, because, you know, sometimes you work a job where you can't just be peeing every 5 minutes, but try your best. Try your best to get as much water in your lifestyle as possible. Do not live off of sodas and juice and Kool-Aid and other stuff, because trust me, it your body will show the results of that. Medications. Sometimes taking certain medications will fuck with your sex drive and fuck with your genital functions. Like, certain medications have that ability. Do I know the names of all of them? Hell no. But just that's something to take into consideration. If you're having issues, you may want to check into the side effects of whatever medications you might be taking for other things that are going on in your body, because some of the side effects of certain drugs is a lowered sex drive. It can fuck up your sex drive all the way, and your ability to get up is going to be hindered. Age. Sometimes it's age, because here's the thing. We all get old. Like, at some point in time, I'm going to be an old man. An old, nasty man, probably, but that's not the point we're trying to get to here. I'm going to be an old man at some point. So at some point, my dick may decide it's not going to work anymore. There may not be anything I can do about that. My body may have just genuinely decided, nah, bruh, your dick not going to work anymore for that function. You can still go pee, but you ain't getting hard, not on your own. And that just may be what it is. Getting older means your body starts to break down. That is literally what getting older is. Your body breaking down. Like, your body is just not going to be as strong as it used to be. It's not going to be as resilient as it used to be. So that could be the reason why your body isn't doing what you'd like it to do. Alcohol. Alcohol is definitely something that can be in the equation. If you drink too much, whether it's a drink too much in a certain situation or you drink too much over time, that shit can affect your ability to get hard. Like, if you're drunk all the time, getting hard is gonna be hard, for a lack of a better phrase. It will be difficult, you know. But you know, we don't talk about the whole, you know. But those are biological reasons. That's like, my body, I'm not getting erect because of these biological things. But then there's also the mental and emotional side of things. If there's a disconnection between you and the person you're trying to have sex with, like, it's not to say you have to just be bonded at the hip to this person that you're about to have sex with, but you got to feel some sort of connection to them. Otherwise, your body may just say, I don't really feel like doing this right now. Like, I don't want to. Could be trauma that you're dealing with or haven't dealt with. That if you have this trauma going on, it's just sitting in your body. And that's actually one of the books I have to read this upcoming semester for my trauma class, The Body Keeps the Score, which is, I believe, is a book about how trauma can stay in the body and how it can affect your life even long after the event. Or events that could be going on for you as a man. If you've been through some shit and you haven't dealt with it, it may manifest itself in erectile dysfunction. Could happen. Wouldn't be the strangest thing to ever happen in the universe. And then, last but not least, the one I want to spend some time on, focused on the wrong thing. Like, having sex is a beautiful thing. In and of itself, it's a beautiful thing when you're having sex with somebody, when it's consensual and you're both aroused and you're both wanting to please one another and you're exploring each other's bodies and all that good stuff. Sex can be a wonderful, amazing thing. But it can also be anxiety producing because, you know, as I said, we get classes on all kinds of things over the course of life, you know. You have a class for algebra, you have a class for history, you have a class for English, you have a class for science, you know. But there's not, over the course of life, of all these different classes you have, there's no class as you're a teenager or in your young adult age of, here's how to stroke when in the vagina. There is no class like that. I'm not going to say there's no class in existence anywhere ever, but because in America, especially in the Bible Belt, sex is not talked about, sex education is nil. The most sexual education you're going to get as far as how to stroke or how to work on getting a proper stroke, most of your shit, most of that quote-unquote education outside of experience is going to be porn. And porn is not the best example, because do you know what happens in a lot of porn? You know what I mean? Like, let's just be real. In a lot of pornography, the thing that always is, that grabs everybody's attention, the thing that's always talked about is, you know, the whole clapping cheeks thing, the jackhammer, the jackrabbit, as some women call, because that's what it is, essentially, that you have, because that's the only quote-unquote education some men get, that's what men believe they're supposed to do, that in order to please a woman, you're supposed to be in her vagina just pounding that shit whole time. From the moment you get up in there, pound that shit. Pound that shit. If you're not beating that shit up, you're not doing nothing. You need to stop. Go on somewhere with yourself. Here's the thing about beating it up. Here's the real about beating it up from my perspective. It's not the thing to do all the time. For multiple reasons. One, that's not always pleasurable to a woman. Like, yes, it's pleasurable in certain circumstances and certain waves, but very few women want to be pounded out the entire time, every single time. Like, every woman does not want that shit going on every single time. Yes, there are some women who will listen to this and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's what I want every single time. Yeah, okay. That, you know, to each their own. Maybe there are going to be those women who want that all the time. But the vast majority of women do not want that. You do that shit, that will be the first and last time you fuck that woman. Period, point blank. Because sometimes doing that shit fucks up their groove. That because it's not feeling very good to them, because that's what you're doing and you're not focused on their pleasure. You're stroking like that. It was mainly going to be focusing on your own pleasure. And especially if you're not listening to them, if you're doing that and they're telling you, hey, this doesn't feel good, or hey, can you stop, or can you slow down a bit, you're not helping yourself in that respect. On top of that, in most cases for most men, you start jackhammering like that, you're going to be nutting real soon. Because if the pussy feels good and you're jackhammering like that, if your mind is all into that moment, you are probably going to be nutting a lot sooner than you want to be. In that case, you will have no control over it. And then there's also just the general anxiety of the situation, that if you don't feel confident in your sexual ability as a man, you're not really going to be sure. Your stroke is going to be uncertain. And so you're going to be sitting there trying to figure that out. And, you know, she may be able to guide you as far as like speed wise, like, hey, could you slow that down or go faster or, you know, whatever. But beyond that, everything else has to come from you as the man. So if you in that thing stroking, you have to go at your own pace. You have to find a pace that works for you, and you have to just breathe. Take your motherfucking time and breathe. You'd be surprised how many people are having sex and forgetting to breathe. Like, do you know how much better things are when you decide to focus on your breathing and see how that feels while you're having sex? Like, to just take a breath. That if you feel yourself getting a little too excited, that just taking a good solid deep breath can get you back where you want to be and give you some more time to do what you need to do for this woman. You know, that's one of those things that you can literally make things a lot better for yourself if you calm down. Take your time and breathe. But if you're so focused on this whole, I gotta beat it up, you gotta fuck the shit out of this woman and da 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 da. If you're so focused on that being the goal and, oh, I have to make her come and I have to beat it up in order to make her come, that's not necessarily the way, chief. And if you're so focused on that, you, instead of focusing just on pleasing her, you may end up nutting too soon just on that you're so focused on that. Next thing you know, boom. And some people be like, what do you mean that's going to make you come faster by focusing too hard on that? It brings me to my kind of the last thing I want to talk about before I bring this episode to a close. It's so funny, like, just from my experience of having sex, of things that can be said to you that can fuck up your groove or guarantee your fate as far as when you're in the process of having sex or you're about to have sex. So in the realm of about to have sex, ladies, or even men, if depending on who you're attracted to, whoever, if you're talking to a man pre-sex, do not threaten this man. Do not threaten a man in any sort of way sexually by saying, you better fuck the shit out of me, or you better come with that dick, or you better not come quick. Like, don't say things like that to a man. Like, I feel like, in what circumstance, like, I would like to know in what, how many circumstances has that actually worked for those people? Telling somebody, don't come too, you better not come too fast, or you better make, you better fuck the shit out of me, or I better come X amount of time or something. How many times has that worked for you? Like, for some people listening, they would be like, yeah, it works for me all the time, so I don't know what you talking about, homie. And I'd be like, speaking from my own experience, anytime a woman has told me anything in the neighborhood of that, it didn't go well. Let me just tell you, it didn't go as well as they'd probably have wanted to, or how well I wanted to go. That's just it. That's just generally how it went. Like, if you, that's not how you arouse a man and keep him aroused. Like, there'll probably be a few men who might get something off on that, but for the most part, that's just gonna pressure them even more, and it's just not gonna go well. Like, every instance in my life that I can remember, a woman telling me something in the neighborhood of that, of you better fuck the shit out of me, or you better not come, or like, I'm the middle, we're in the middle of having sex, and they say, you better not come, or don't come, please, whatever. If you're telling me don't come, I'm probably already in the process of coming. Like, let's just keep it funky. Let's keep it 100. If you are in the middle of telling me not to come, and you can kind of tell, like, women usually can tell when a man's about to come, do not wait till then to tell that man don't come. Because I'm telling you, if you're waiting till you feel him about to come, or you're sensing he's about to come, he's about to come, and there's nothing. You saying that is not going to slow it down. If anything, it might speed it up a little bit. And threatening a man in the sense of, you better fuck the shit out of me kind of thing, all that's going to do is put pressure on him, and then he may not be able to stay hard, or he may not get hard in the first place, or it just may be an awkward time, because he's going to be so focused on, oh shit, I better fuck the shit out of her. If I don't, oh, my reputation's going to be bad, and like, it's just, it's a lot of undue pressure that doesn't need to be there. Like, just, sex is supposed to be a relaxing, comfortable, fun, exciting thing. Like, it's not supposed to be something you're supposed to feel all this pressure about. And, you know, sometimes inadvertently or on purpose, sometimes people put on added pressure to a situation that wasn't even necessary, and it can just cause problems, you know. And so I think we all need to just work on taking our time a little bit more, being easier on one another, and not being so rough with each other, or rough in that way, because sometimes there is a time to be rough, but that's another episode. But, you know, sex should be a calm, relaxing thing for all parties involved. So, you know, just, if you know this person has different anxieties going on, man or woman, work on helping them to relax. That's what's going to ensure a better experience for the both of you. Help that person relax. Because you help them relax, the sex will be better. That's all I got for you. That's going to end this week's episode. I hope it was good for y'all. If you did enjoy, you know, share with friends. Share the link for the podcast with different people. I'm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I'm on Anchor. Just however you are listening to this now, share with friends. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And just, you know, help a brother out. You know, other than that, I will catch y'all when I catch y'all, hopefully next week, but if not, hopefully sooner rather than later. Peace.